You need that record. It's the Zac Brown Band and Chris Cornell, Soundgarden. And it's amazing. Two of my worlds colliding, like my high school rock and roll self with my, you know, country music self. We are back. It's 9:34. And the musicianship is just incredible from the Zac Brown Band and Chris Cornell. Okay, so we are approaching Valentine's Day. Some people love it. Some people loathe it. And here to talk to us about Canada's, about Valentine's Day dating dilemmas and answer some of your questions, your burning dating dilemmas, or even marriage issues too. That is fair game. Is Chantal Hyde. She's Canada's dating expert. Good morning.
Good morning.
Always so great to have you here. I love that you're rocking your Valentine's Day red.
Hello.
I didn't think this through. I should have done that. Although I think the only like red dress I have is a little scandalous for on the radio. Might be
well,
too.
I think the boys will like it.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. Ratings, right? That's what I'm supposed to worry about.
Sex sells.
That's right. That's what they tell us. Okay, so we will take your calls again. If you want to ask Chantal a question, *570 or at 519-570-2545, you can email it to me as well. And that will come in right away and we'll get it to her, Jennifer@570news.com. And we'll have hopefully figure out some lives here this morning.
Ooh, that sounds deep.
Pressure, right?
Right.
Okay, so Valentine's Day. Are you a fan of Valentine's Day?
Let me start this off with a joke.
Okay, good.
This is what I said to my husband the other day, and I can't say that I made it up. I read it, and I was like, oh my God, so perfect. I said, baby, I can already smell the roses that you're not going to give me. Because, like, okay, us women were, you know, if we have a guy who does Valentine's Day, we're like, yay. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, we have to adjust to having a guy who doesn't do Valentine's Day because part of us expects it. It's a cultural norm.
Right. We've been brainwashed into believing that we are entitled to this Hallmark holiday.
Yeah. I like the word brainwashing with that one. Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. And so my husband is anti-everything. Like, I do get a birthday dinner and yep. I get an anniversary dinner.
Okay.
But other than that, we don't exchange anything at any other time. But we give each other things whenever, you know, like I buy my husband's clothes because I'm the one who really monitors his wardrobe. And I'm like, okay, my baby needs some more underwear and he needs more socks and he needs some nice shirts. And I go out and buy them and I put them in his closet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he takes very good care of me too. So I'm willing to let go of all that because we fill in the space in between. We really do take very good care of each other.
So now, but that's a conversation that you had together.
It's an agreement.
An agreement.
Yes.
So, you know, so that you know, not, there's no, you know, damned hopes every
right.
Valentine's Day where you're expecting something and he's not giving it. So that conversation is key, isn't it? To know this
yes.
is what is happening. Now you say, so what if you really were super passionate about Valentine's Day? Could it be him who did the amending as well, though, for your hopes and expectations? Does it depend
no.
on? No,
I'm responsible for my own emotions.
Okay.
And my own expectations, right? So if I'm bringing expectations into a relationship, I always say expectations are a relationship killer.
Yeah.
Because expectations are you've created a movie in your mind of mm-hmm. what you want to have happen in the future. And when people don't step up and fulfill the movie that you made up in your head, now you're going to give them crap for that. And that's not fair. You need to not have expectations. You need to be in touch with reality. And so, and this is the thing, if you're with somebody who does nothing for you.
Ever. Yeah.
Why are you even with them?
Absolutely. I made a joke, and I know I rave on and on and on about my Scotty P, my college boyfriend, and now we're back together after 20 years and 3 kids and a couple divorces. But the other day, I went to watch him play hockey. I was going to watch his hockey game. He lives in Toronto. And so I got there early. My job ends early. And I got there early. He wasn't going to be home till about 4 or so. And I made a joke on the internet about where are my peanut M&Ms from the weekend? What has happened to my peanut M&Ms? And so he was a little late coming home. And when he came in, he hands me this bag of peanut M&Ms. And I was like, that is the, that little bag of candy just, you know, completely touched my heart because it's so selfless, that $2 on peanut M&Ms.
Yeah.
And I said, I said that to him, I was like, I'm very thankful about for your attentiveness. And I really appreciate that. He said, well, you called me out on the internet. So I had to go get some.
Nice.
You put it on Facebook. Anyway, it was kind of funny, but honestly, that little $2, 5 minute gesture, I mean, told me so much. It told me so much,
yeah,
you know?
It's O. Henry bars. This is what I buy my husband is O. Henry bars because it does that little thing for him. It makes him smile.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, you can have a conversation about what you're going to do for each other on Valentine's Day, but if you're with somebody who isn't that kind of person like I am, then what you have to do is instead of being upset that you're not getting something on Valentine's Day, look at what else he's done for you other than on this one particular day.
Yeah.
And fill yourself up with that.
And we've talked before, too. Let's touch back on love languages, because I think this is so vital and so key in relationships when people start to understand, first of all, what their love language is.
Yes.
And second of all, what their partner's love language is.
Yeah.
And how they kind of work or perhaps, you know, don't work sometimes together because you are showing love in one way, somebody else is showing it in a different way, and you're not seeing perhaps the way they're exhibiting their love.
And there's, in addition to that, a lot of people misinterpret their own. And so they're fighting for the wrong thing. They're like, 50% of the time, whenever I work with people, the first thing I have them do is figure out what their love language is. And if they're with partners, find out what their partner's love language is. Because most of the time, you know, we want everything, but we're fighting for the wrong things. So with the five love languages, you have gives, quality time, acts of service, physical affection, words of affirmation.
So, and somebody, you can, these are easy to find if you just Google love languages.
Love language quiz, do the 30 question quiz because that's going to, you know, there's like a 10 question one. Mm-hmm. Do the 30, you know, commit to the 10 minutes, do the 30, really figure it out. But, you know, people go into a relationship thinking I should have everything. And when you figure out what it is that's truly important to you, because we do want gifts and quality time and acts of service and physical affection and words of affirmation, but we should be asking for what's most important from our partner and dispensing the rest among friends and family. So my partner is, you know, we meet, we jive on physical affection, but his other one is acts of service and mine is words of affirmation. So sometimes in my relationship, I'm like, I say to him, say something nice because I need to hear him say something nice.
Yeah.
He's a man of very few words and I have to weigh each word very carefully, but I like a lot of words too. And so I go out among my friends and family and I fill myself up with the words that I need and I get my physical affection with him.
And totally fine to ask for what you want,
yes.
To say, to be
and
clear about what you need.
If I wasn't getting the physical affection, that would be a fight.
Right.
It would be a heated negotiation. We would talk. And if it wasn't resolved, it might get into a heated negotiation. But, you know, like it is very important for me to get my physical affection. And if I'm not getting that from my partner, we need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
But the other stuff I can dispense among other people.
Yeah, and figuring that out is, I mean, it's a huge...
Vital.
It's almost like you can't see the forest through the trees. Like, once you do that and you see, it's kind of like a light bulb and an aha moment when you kind of get that understanding and awareness of yourself. And you're like, oh, okay, this makes sense to me. This is why I react in certain situations the way I do. And this is why he or she reacts in certain situations. It just kind of gives you a greater understanding of you,
yes,
and your partner.
And again, what you need to kind of stand out for. So once I realized that his love language was nowhere near words of affirmation, I stopped fighting with him about hearing nice things.
Right.
And I started translating. I started looking at his actions and filling myself up with his acts of service.
And that, which is wonderful too, because then you're noticing, right?
Yes.
You're noticing.
And yes. Awareness is everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when somebody feels appreciated and
yes.
understood,
oh.
they go, leaps and bounds for you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. In one of my books, one of the chapters, I kind of went through, like, I appreciate you, I respect you, you know, and a few more. And those were the chapter headings. And I talked about each one. And under I appreciate you, the first words underneath that is, if you're looking for honey to a man's ears, this is it.
I appreciate you.
Yes.
Yeah. I appreciate you. Yeah. They want to feel appreciated.
They want to know that you see what they're doing. Like, mm-hmm. men are stoic, you know, and they're silently going about taking care of you. But they want to know that you're aware of it, because otherwise, eventually, it feels like they're giving and it's just depleting them, because it's like, you know, why am I doing all this work if she's fighting about what I'm not doing?
Right. And taking out the garbage and so on and so forth when you didn't, if you know, because what about the M&Ms?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
What about the M&Ms?
Yes.
Okay. So 9:44. So let us, well, let's do this. Let's talk first about, before we take a break, and then after the break, we'll do some listener letters for you, Chantel High, Canada's dating expert. But okay. So the key then, if you're in a new relationship around Valentine's Day, it sounds like the same key as if you're in an age-old relationship, that you need to know the expectation. So if you're in a new relationship, you need to say, hey, I love Valentine's Day. Let's really do, would you like to do something special?
Right.
And put that out on the table.
Yes.
And see what the person's response is.
Yeah.
And if you're in, you know, the relationship that's been forever, you need to know what your partner, how they feel about Valentine's Day, mm-hmm. and then, you know, not get your skirt in a bunch.
Smelling the roses that I'm not going to get. Right?
Somebody's going to send you roses on Valentine's Day.
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-oh, that might be problematic. So, but in terms of a new relationship, I mean, do we need to talk about, like, budgets? Or, I mean, it gets a little...
Like, stay low budget, because it's a new relationship. It should be, you should be investing time in getting to know the person instead of money to impress them.
Right, right. Yeah. So something, and something that you've noticed or heard about them too. I mean, my favorite Christmas present from, I know, again, I'm going to go on about him. I had said months ago that my favorite movie was Practical Magic, and that I'd never read the book. And at Christmas time, I mean, I said that in passing and forgot about it. And at Christmas time, he got me the book Practical Magic.
Uh-huh.
It's my favorite Christmas present. So something that they've said, maybe, that, you know, that you remember, that you could perhaps show them, hey, I was listening to that.
And do the love language quiz. This is a great, for, you know, like, in a new relationship, take this opportunity, whether it's a new relationship or, you know, you're a couple, you've been together for 10 years, take this opportunity to deepen intimacy. And the way to deepen intimacy is to deepen your understanding of each other. So do the love language quiz and get to know each other's love language. Whether it's a new one or an old one,
right,
this is useful information.
Can you do it together at the same time?
Oh, absolutely.
That's kind of a fun,
absolutely,
romantic thing to do.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. And what if he balks at that? What if you say, I want to do this love language quiz? How do you sell it?
It's like, I want to understand you better, because I want to make you happy. I mean, who's going to say no?
Right. That's true. I mean, he says no, there's a little bit of a flag, right? Is there?
Yeah.
Does it lead with yes?
Yes.
Say yes to life.
Just do it for me, baby.
It's 9:47, so we'll take a quick break. And then, are you okay with answering some questions, some email questions from our listeners? Okay, or phone calls too. If you want to talk to Chantel Hyde, Canada's dating coach, you can call us right now, *570-519-570-2545. How to improve your relationship, how to decide perhaps if this relationship is actually something you should be investing in. Those phone lines are open, and you can call us right now, or email jennifer@570news.com. We're back with your questions next on 570 News. Okay, we are back. It is 9:50, and Chantel Hyde, Canada's dating expert, is in studio with us. We were talking about Valentine's Day, expectations, so on and so forth. You had some advice for the single girls.
For the single gals.
Yes.
Okay, so if you were one of the single girls that Valentine's Day bums you out because you're single and you're wishing that there was someone in your life that you could share the day with, here's some advice. If you have some girlfriends, go have a girls' night. Go have a girls' night, go dancing, go do something fun. So the point here is, you want to kind of, like, uplift your chemicals in your body. So if you're a single girl, you got some girlfriends you can go out with, go out and have a riotous time. Like, laugh as hard as you can. If you can find a place to go do some dancing at, go do some dancing and just get those happy chemicals going, that testosterone, the dopamine, hug your girlfriends. There's some oxytocin going on right there. It makes you feel nice and warm and fuzzy. So, you know, reverse this like blue mood that you might get into by countering it with really good chemicals. If you're going to be home alone and you want to reverse that blue mood, then go on YouTube, get some funny videos going. I have to admit, for me, it's Googling girls falling for some reason. Like watching people.
Thing.
It is. It is. There's compilations of women falling. They are hilarious. And I just double over laughing.
It's usually because we're wearing inappropriate shoes, isn't it?
No, it's usually because it looks like Aunt Anita. You know what I mean? And Aunt Anita's had a little too much to drink.
Yes.
And she tips mm-hmm. over something. And it's just hilarious. So whatever it is that makes you laugh,
yes.
YouTube it, watch it, make yourself laugh, and then put on some really fun songs like Uptown Funk, some Bruno Mars. Get the arms up in the air, because a power pose is having your arms up in the air for 2 minutes. Like, you know when people win a race mm-hmm. or they, you know, mm-hmm. win the tennis match? Woohoo, right?
Yeah.
Arms up in the air. When you keep your arms up in the air for 2 minutes, you actually create testosterone inside of your body. So this elevates your mood. So you got the dopamine going because you laughed. You got the testosterone going because your arms up in the air. Dancing around is going to get some other very, what is it when you exercise? Your endorphins.
Your endorphins,
yes.
Yeah.
Get your endorphins going and, you know, maybe hug yourself. Maybe you can create some oxytocin that way. But just make yourself happy.
We talk a lot when you're here about this being, you know, science and genetic.
Yeah.
And I mean, we are just kind of more evolved cave people.
Oh, for
I
sure.
I mean, the moment you told me about, I'll never forget the moment. I mean, a lot of things you've taught me about meditation, about yoga, about, you know, looking internally. But I will never forget the time that you told me about mommy guilt.
Oh, yeah.
Tell everybody that one, just because I'm telling you, it changed my whole damn life.
Okay. So the most important question you can ask yourself is, what do I want? Because we're always piecing ourselves out to the people around us. Like, you know, what do I need to do to make my employer happy, make my coworkers happy, make my family happy, make my friends happy? And then the moment we kind of sit back, and I remember going through this when, you know, I would sit down and watch TV. And I would go into guilt mode. And this is how I came about realizing this. I'd sit down and watch TV, and then guilt would overcome me because I'd start thinking about the other things that I could be doing in that moment. And I started thinking about this emotional reaction that I was having to just taking care of myself. And I went, okay, why is this going on? So I did some research, and women feel a higher level of guilt than men do. And then I went, okay, what is the evolutionary purpose of this? And I realized that women are, we make the babies, but we're not only making them, we are the primary caregiver. Like, coded into our DNA is the ability to detect fine detail on a greater level than men. Again, what's the evolutionary purpose? Well, if the baby's off color or isn't gaining weight properly, we need to see that right away so we can tend to it so it doesn't become a bigger issue. Now, we have this guilt instinct. So if we didn't have a guilt instinct and that baby was off color and losing weight, we wouldn't give a crap.
Yeah.
So that guilt instinct ties us into the care of others so that we can lift them up and ensure their survival. So once I realized that, when I sit down and watch TV, I feel that sensation of guilt and I go, it's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't need to react to it. I can let the feeling flow through me and still take care of myself.
So when, you know, when I was, you know, contemplating skipping watching a hockey game this weekend and going to the mall instead because I need a dress for my 40th birthday, and I felt this horrible guilt. And then I was like, wait a second, you know, I feed these children. I love these children. I go to all of the hockey games and I love going to those games. Why am I feeling like this? That you popped into my brain. Like,
no, I love that.
The baby's not turning blue. So, you know, that the guilt was to make us pay attention because we had to keep the people alive.
Yes.
And then we could just dismiss that as, okay, we don't, you know, if that's not happening, if the child's alive, we can kind of dismiss that emotion because now we're using it improperly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you changed my life with that.
I love it.
Okay, so we have time. Look at what the time does with you and I. It goes away. But I thought this was an interesting one. This is from Lori, and she emailed me, Jennifer at 570 News. Love when Chantel Hyde is on your show.
Oh, thank you.
Which is so great. And she has an interesting question. And I wonder if you've heard this one before. I'm sure you have, but maybe not in the storytelling way. Lori says, there are contractors working in my building. They're there temporarily. And there's been a lot of eye contact with one of the contractors and myself.
La la.
I'm not sure if it's just a friendly flirt. He does this all the time. Or if it's an I'm interested in you flirt. This has been going on for 3 weeks. I'm kind of at a loss at this point. Some of my girlfriends say if he was interested, he would have approached me by now. I've backed off from flirting further with him. Your thoughts?
Okay, so I'm going to assume that she would be interested in pursuing this further. So here's what you do. Back in, you know, olden days, Victorian times, right? Mm-hmm. Women drop the handkerchief. We initiate the chase. We let them know, I am open to being chased by you. I'm dropping the handkerchief at your feet. It is up to you to pick it up and hand it to me and say, Madame, is this yours? And may I take you out for coffee? And we've lost that for some reason. For some reason, we think the chase begins with the man. And it's like, no, ladies, you are the selector. You are the one that lets the man know he needs to pick up the handkerchief and come after you. And here's how you do it. You go up to him, and what you do is you state the obvious. You got to open your mouth.
Yep.
So you state the obvious, followed by a question. So what you're doing is you're initiating a conversation. So, you know, maybe what you can say is, because, I mean, this guy, he doesn't know if you're dating somebody.
Right.
Right? So
right.
Maybe that's why he's not saying anything.
And he's working. Maybe he feels like there's boundaries because he's at work. No?
Forget that. Let's just, because, it could be coffee shop. Like, let's just make this, you know, situational everywhere.
Right. Okay.
He doesn't know if there's somebody already in your life and he's afraid of overstepping boundaries because maybe he's a very respectful man.
Yeah.
And so he needs you to drop the handkerchief, whether it's in a coffee shop or in your building or anywhere. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to go up to him and you're going to state the obvious. So if he, you know, obviously he's a handyman and he goes, you seem like such a great handyman. Where does a woman find more men like you? Right? Mm-hmm. And so that's a nice compliment.
It's a
that's
good
gonna make
cue.
Him it's gonna make him smile, which releases dopamine, which makes him feel good towards you. And then you ask a question, you're like, you know, so is this your specialty or like if you were doing something else, what would you prefer to do? Like some kind of question that now he's going to talk back at you, right?
Yeah.
So have a couple questions go back and forth, just a couple. You don't want to prolong this. You're not making a date out of this encounter.
Yeah, just a first impression.
Right.
Sort of, yeah.
And then you say, I have to go because you know what? You are a woman who has a life. You have places to go, things to do, people to see. You're not sitting around waiting to talk to men, right?
Balls in your court.
I have to go.
Yep.
I got this meeting. Here's my number. Mm-hmm. I'd love to go for coffee sometime. Give me a call.
Perfect. Speaking of having to go, that's exactly what we have to do. Tell everybody where to find you when they need you.
Please go check my CanadasDatingCoach.com website. Go to my events page. I've got book signings coming up in Guelph, Kitchener, Waterloo, Toronto. I am everywhere at this point.
Okay, Chantel Hyde, I will see you sooner than later, right?
Thank you.
All right.
Can I do one more plug?
Yes, very quickly.
I've got a seminar coming up at the Radisson in Kitchener on March 4th on dating for the single ladies. Come to my seminar. You're going to learn everything you need to know to find the man of your dreams.
Eric Drozd is the man of so many of y'all's dreams, and he is next at 10 o'clock this morning. Thanks for your time. We'll see you in the morning.